With God's help, I'd like to read out of the book of St. Luke, chapter 2.
Ljubljeni čitači, sa svete reči gospodnje iz svetog evanđelja po Luci, glava druga. Sveto evanđelje po Luci, druga glava.
And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one unto his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth a firstborn and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger. And because there was no room for them in the inn, and there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, that ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, Glory to God in highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they were made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. And Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the angels returned glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. I'd like to stop the reading at that point. We'd ask that you pray for me this morning, being that I have not been in the service as a ministering brother for a little while. But I find that this morning, it being a day that probably this entire world, I don't know how far, I know the country for sure, would celebrate the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Not everybody does. Not everybody believes that this was the day. And it, to me, if this is the day or another day, it really doesn't matter. But the point being that he was born, as we read this portion of Scripture here. He was born to a virgin, which is the Virgin Mary. The story is very familiar to all of us. And yet I would feel amiss if I would not have been led by the leading of the Holy Spirit to read this portion of Scripture. The story of Jesus is very familiar to many. We teach it in Sunday school. They've learned it for years. And it's nothing new. And so what we have read here this morning, it is the account that Luke writes about. The Apostle Matthew writes a little different story, but they're the only two apostles that wrote about the birth of Jesus Christ. And Luke, being the specific, he's a teacher of specific things. He points out events and things that took place and happened that none of the others ever did. And that was his way of doing it. And so this is why we find that here he points out that the reason that this all took place was, as it begins here, that the king had created, or that had caused this tax to be on everybody. And so that included Joseph and his wife Mary. And they were living, as it says here, in the city of Galilee, in a different, the city of Nazareth in Galilee. And it says they were, because he was of the lineage of David, he had to go to Bethlehem to pay his taxes. And this tax was a necessity. There was no getting out of it. And it didn't make any difference if his wife was expecting or not. It still had to be done, and he had to go. And so they did. As we know and realized, they didn't take the bus or the train or something like that. They rode on donkeys to go wherever they went. And so if you can imagine in your mind how this might have taken place, here's a woman expecting any day, has to get on this animal and ride to all the way to Bethlehem and to so they could pay their taxes. And so they went. And as it says, the story goes, when they got there, her days of delivery was at the time. When they got there, and because this was of a necessity for everybody to come and pay their taxes, that meant that this city that they had to go to was full of people, a lot of people there. And when they got there, come to find out, they had no place to stay. And that's why it's recorded here that they had to stay in this stable, literally a barn. And so that's where they had to go, because there was no room, as it says, in the inn. And so, as the story goes, she had to deliver this baby, and that's why we see this story that he was born, and he had to wrap the baby in swaddling clothes. And mind you, they didn't have all the nice fancy pajamas and clothes for a little baby. No, they were poor people, and they just wrapped the baby in swaddling clothes. No place else to lay him, so it's recorded that he was laid into a manger. Now, I don't believe that that's just happenstance. I don't believe that that's just a circumstance that come about and this is the way it ended up to be. No. I believe that this was all in God's plan, and I believe this is the way he planned it for his son to come into this world. And as we read here that he was laid into a manger, a simple place where they keep and feed animals in a barn, I mean, what lowlier place could an individual be than what we read here? Laid in a barn, in a stable, in a manger. But I believe that that's God's plan, and that's the reason for that is because I believe that he came in a very meek and humble way. You see, all through Scripture where we read about where Christ lived on this earth, he taught the people, he was helpful, he healed many, he helped feed people, he gave of himself all the time. He was not here, even though, remember now, we got to remember that he became King of Kings. He's Lord of Lords. This is not just some individual little kid that got married or was born here. No. This is the King of Kings that's being born here. And yet, it was in a lowly, simple place in a manger is where he was laid. And so that's typical of our Lord and Savior. He was never proud. He was never boastful. He didn't go around telling everybody, I'm the Son of God and I can do whatever I want to do. You better be listening to me. You'll never read that in the Scripture. That's the way he was. Never. Because he was lowly and meek. And that's why he taught. When he taught the people, come unto me, for I am meek and lowly. And this is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He's the one that you and I have come to know. You and I have come to believe. And those of us that have become baptized in the likeness of his death, we also realize that he is our personal Savior. He's our Lord. He should be Lord of our lives. And for my friends outside of Christ, you need to consider this, to take him as your Lord and your Savior and your personal Savior in your personal life. You see, he's willing to come if you just call upon him. He does not force himself on us. He does not push his way in. He does not demand. He simply comes in peacefulness, quietness, and comforts us. This is the nature of our Lord and Savior. And this is how he was born into this world in such a manner, in such a way. And so it's encouraging to me when I read these words of how he came and how he became our Savior. And sometimes it don't seem like at this time of year we all celebrate Christmas, many of us do anyways, and we look forward even to this day because of the entire world, I believe, does, that they realize that this was the day he was born. Whether it was exactly on the 25th of December, nobody really knows, and it really doesn't matter. But the point is that he did come, he was born, and this is how he was born. He was born in a manger, laid in a manger, and then he was raised by his parents. And we can read further on in Luke how he began to, he was at the age of 12, they found him. They used to go to Jerusalem every year, and they found him amongst the doctors teaching and asking them questions, and they were surprised at the knowledge that he knew, these doctors and these priests and these ones that were familiar with was supposed to be the teachers of the people, were familiar with God's word and the things that he knew and understood because he was the Son of God. But they never realized that. They didn't know that. And the story goes that as he grew, he was obedient to his parents. And as the scriptures record, at the age of 30, he began to teach and preach in all of the cities round about. What did he preach about? He preached about the kingdom of heaven. And this is why he tells them, this is why he came. This is why he was born in a manger. This is why he was sent by God. Because he became the Savior of our souls. Now, we can read this, and many people read it, but do we believe it? Do we believe and trust in these words, that this is God's word, And this is what he teaches, and this is what the truth is. Do you and I believe this? Do we believe it with all our heart? Some people just look at it as a story. There are Bible scholars, they simply read it. It don't mean a thing to them other than this is what was written, this is what they know. They don't take him as their Lord and their Savior. And this is why I believe that we have this day today, especially, that we recognize and realize he came into this world. Why? To save us from our sins. To save us from eternal condemnation. Saying that would indicate everyone's safe, everyone's good, no problem, everyone's gone to heaven. That is not the case at all. Not everyone, he says, as he said himself, calls me Lord, Lord. That's not their Lord. They just call him that. But for you and I, as believers in Jesus Christ, he's our Lord and our Savior. And we trust him. And we believe that he has died for us. He shed his blood for us. And that he has gone on to heaven to prepare a place for us. That where he said himself, I am going away and I'm going to prepare a place that where I am, you may be also. This is the faith, this is the trust that we have in these words that we have read here this morning. This is God's word. He has left it for us to know and understand and to believe and to trust and to take him as our personal Savior. Our personal Savior. And so the reason we take him for our personal Savior is so that we, as our own soul, can be saved. You know, we can come to church and we can hear this all you want. And you can be a faithful believer coming to church all you want. But if you don't take this personally into your own heart and serve and trust and believe in him on a daily basis, you leave things up to him to guide you and to direct you. He promises that he would do this for us through the power of the Holy Spirit. And this is the way we live our lives. This is our Christian life. This is what it's all about. He's our Lord and Savior. And we've got to believe and trust in him. So you see, when this here took place, it was probably not an easy thing to do. But then, not everything is easy. In fact, if you think that being a Christian is easy, it is. If you put your trust and your cares upon him and leave things to him. But it's when we try to do things on our own, we do stuff of our own, we go on our own and will, and we do our own will. That's when we find it becomes hard and difficult to be a Christian, because we're trying to do it ourselves. It doesn't work that way very good. We need to trust in him, leave it to him, let him guide and direct our lives. That's how we get by in this life. That's how we manage to believe and trust in him, because we have given our entire being to him for our own very soul salvation. You see, the scripture teaches us that flesh and blood is not going to inherit eternal life. We know that. It's our soul that will inherit eternal life. But that doesn't give us a license to just do whatever we want to do and just leave it up to our soul now, because our soul is what's going to inherit eternal life. No. We are taught in God's word that we must live a godly life, one that would please our Lord and Savior. And how do we do that? First of all, we have to be honest. We have to be honest with ourselves. We have to be honest with our mankind. We must trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. We must live our lives in such a way that we're an example to those around us. that we don't do the many things that this world has to offer. We're to be separate. We're to be a peculiar people. We're to be different. You may not like that idea. And maybe this is why some of you have not been converted. Because you don't want to live that lifestyle. I got news for you. You're paving the road to eternal condemnation without Jesus Christ in your life. That's the way it is. You see, there's only two places that your soul will end up in, either hell or in heaven. And that choice that you make, the way you live your life, will determine that when it comes to your last breath. You and I need to believe that. You and I need to understand that. And while we still have life and breath, we better be making them decisions to follow and obey God's word. It's as simple as that. It's not a difficult life if you leave the leading in your life to the Lord. He will guide you, He'll direct you, and He'll help you. And the reason I know that, because I've done it over 60 years. Never once looked back and wished I could have been something else. No. No way. This lifestyle that you and I live as believers in Jesus Christ is this lifestyle that's going to determine our destination. And so, my encouragement to you this morning, take this word that we have read, this babe that was born, realize why he was born, and he was born for the simple reason that you and I might live. Because it comes to the end, and if we read all through the scriptures, he finally, when he becomes and they could no longer stand it, and they made provisions to hang him on the cross because they hated him because of the truth that he brought. So we see, we realize and understand that God's word is truth. If you don't believe that, you're already off on the track, wrong track. You believe in the Bible, you believe in his word, you're in the right direction. Now, what you have to do is, and the best way to know this and do this, of course, is to read God's word. You see, we have access to his word. I'm sure that every one of us, one place or another, have access to a Bible. During the week, day, anytime we want it, we have access. Now, because we have that, we have the responsibility to read that word and know what it says and know what our destiny will be. If we don't read it, don't know it, and don't understand it, how can we expect to know where we're going? How can we expect to know what to do? How can we expect to live our lives pleasing in his sight if we don't read the word? So my encouragement is read God's word as often as you can. Set time aside to read his word so that you understand what's expected of you, so you understand what life is all about. And you'll find it in his word. And so when we learn this and find out what his word teaches us, we begin to live this. We then, as the Bible teaches us, we have become a light in this world. A light that is set on a hill is easily seen. And that's what we're expected to be, that light on that hill. God's children. If you and I, as God's children, don't set that example and are not that light, who on this earth do we expect is going to do it? It's left up to us, you and I, as God's children. And so, my encouragement is this. Read the word, understand it and believe it and apply it to your life. And you will no doubt accept the plan of salvation, accept the Lord as your personal Savior, and then you want to become baptized in the likeness of his death. Once you become baptized, that's only the beginning. That's not the end. That's only the beginning of a journey that you're going to take now as God's child. To walk in his ways, to be a light into this world, and to please our Heavenly Father. That's what we're expected. That's what's expected of mankind. You and I, as believers. So let us take this word, let us be encouraged in this day, that this was a day that is recognized as the day of his birth, and that it is an encouragement to us, because he came for the reason to save us. And may God bless the words upon our hearts.
Personally, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. We can take with us great encouragement when we can spend time with believers who have turned their lives to the Lord and are not looking back. And it is just in a small picture of what Jesus has done for us. He had chosen to take on flesh and to dwell among us, though he knew that his own would not receive him, so that he might extend to us the way of salvation. He made that choice, and he did not turn back, but looks forward to the joy that is set before him. He endured the cross and despised the shame, and now is sitting at the majesty of the right hand of God on high. May our thoughts and our affections, our worship, and our praise be directed to Jesus Christ, who has done all things well. Amen.